Good morning, Cascadia. Today's Friday, February 27, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Liam Delta. Chris Andre will be joining us live from the Organicology Conference. Portland area weather, today beautiful, sunny with a high near 49, and then tonight mostly clear with a low around 36. Tomorrow increasing clouds and then rain for a while, so enjoy it while you can. The Oregon Department of Environmental Quality has informally suspended processing clean air and clean water permits for a liquefied natural gas terminal and proposed pipeline on the Columbia River. The DEQ has proposed a formal suspension of permitting until backers of the Bradwood Landing LNG terminal can resolve land use issues with Clatsop County. Otherwise, the agency will be forced to proceed and likely deny the permits. Brett Vandenhoevel with Columbia River Keeper joins us now to talk about the development. Good morning, Brett. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Liam.
So what's going on with this?
Just another major blow to the Bradwood Landing LNG terminal, where they need multiple permits from the state of Oregon to discharge wastewater and polluted air, and the state has, as you mentioned, suspended processing those permits. The really exciting thing is the reason. It's a direct result of a referendum that citizens passed in Clatsop County after the leaders there said that they approved the LNG terminals. The citizens reversed that on their own. So it's a really great example of kind of democracy in its truest sense.
Right. And the state is still suing because they did it without state approval, without following the state law?
Yeah, there's a couple levels. The state of Oregon and the state of Washington are both suing the federal government for approving this project. But at the local level, the citizens are still very active in trying to stop it down there on their own.
Yeah. Well, good news, Brett. Thanks for being here.
That was All right, thank you.
That was Brett Vandenhoevel with the Columbia River Keeper. And now Air Cascadia's Chris Andre is with us again live from the Organicology Conference. Good morning, Chris. Who do you have there to talk to us? Good morning, Chris. Are you there? Okay, we'll get to Chris in just a moment. High school teacher Bill Diss has spent months carrying signs outside Planned Parenthood's regional headquarters growing up in Northeast Portland. He's mobilized protests and testified at public hearings decrying abortion. But when Disc walked away with some signs and banners at the site last year, Planned Parenthood was watching. The group filed a police report and a complaint with the state agency that investigates teacher wrongdoing. That's the scary thing. Disc is a teacher. Okay, Chris is with us live now from the conference. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Liam. I'm at Organicology today speaking with John Benson. John Benson runs Double J Jerseys in Monmouth, Oregon. It's an organic dairy farm. And John is here at the conference. This has various permaculture aspects to it, too, and that it's about people and it's about land and it's about growing food. And one of the key bridges, one of the key pieces in that whole formula is farm animals. And John is a dairy farmer here to speak with us this morning.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So what do you have for us from the conference today?
I'm just attending and trying to fine-tune my own operation. I have 150 Jersey dairy cows down in Monmouth, Oregon, and we've been grazing cows now for 18 years on our farm and organically producing milk for Organic Valley for 10 years now.
That's great. Is there an increasing demand or is there a market for the organic milk?
The demand for organic milk has been growing at 20% a year. Consumers have really, really decided that they want their milk produced a different way and they want their cows treated a different way, and it's been a great match for our farm, and the consumers have really been good for us.
That's great. So what are you learning at the conference?
All learning all sorts of interesting things about fertilization, and you know, I also eventually like to dabble in vegetables, and there's a lot of classes going on about vegetables and the economics of farming.
Right. All right. Well, thank you very much, John.
All right. Thank you.
That was John Benson, an organic dairy farmer down in Monmouth, Oregon. A federal appeals court has refused to block plans to trap and kill sea lions that had eaten endangered salmon at Bonneville Dam. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco ruled that it would not issue a stay sought by the Humane Society of the United States because their arguments are unlikely to prevail as the case moves forward. I wonder what that means. Some Oregon teachers want the legislature to allow them to buy soda pop and unhealthy snack foods in their lounges. Food students are forbidden to purchase on school grounds. The Oregon House gave its approval yesterday, and now that bill goes to the Senate. And Oregon's a dismal report on rising unemployment in Oregon shows that the jobless rate rose up to 9.9% as the state's economy is sinking faster than most others in the nation. January employment numbers for Oregon showed the state lost more than 14,000 jobs. The unemployment rate jumped nearly a full percentage point from December, when Oregon ranked sixth worst in the country. And these numbers don't reflect the thousands of people who have given up and not registered as unemployed. And the number of southern Oregonians using food stamps has climbed to record levels. In Jackson and Josephine counties, January usage increased 20% from a year ago. The department also reported cash assistance to needy families for Jackson and Josephine counties rose 23% from a year ago. The Oregon Senate has approved a bill to set up a kitty for affordable housing that'll use money from an increase in recording fees for real estate documents. Also, the Oregon Housing and Community Services Department announced it had been awarded a $5 million grant from Chicago-based MacArthur Foundation to help with low-income housing. In Washington state, lawmakers say a possible compromise has emerged on payday lending regulation. This after more than a dozen bills prompted opposition from the check-cashing industry and strong lobbying from consumer advocates. Lawmakers said the compromise would give more protection and choices to customers while avoiding a crippling effect on the industry. The French-owned nuclear services company Areva is scouting northern Idaho to site a plant to turn wood waste into electricity. The plant would be part of a venture outlined earlier this month to develop biomass power plants in Washington, Idaho, Oregon, and Montana. Once again, old Europe leads America. President Obama charted a new course for the nation yesterday with a budget proposing higher taxes for the wealthy and the first steps toward a guaranteed universal health care. This plus a $1.75 trillion federal deficit, nearly four times the highest in history. Obama unveiled his own $3.6 trillion blueprint for next year, a proposal that would transfer wealth from rich taxpayers to the middle class and the poor, but congressional approval without major change is unlikely. KBOO's Spencer Raymond joins us now to talk about President Obama's risky business. Good morning, Spencer.
Good morning, Liam. Yeah, you said it. It is risky business. And, you know, as he becomes president for longer, he's facing bigger decisions. And each day when he makes these announcements, he just announced today that he gave a strong deadline for troops coming back from Iraq. He's doing things. He's working with his team in the White House to try to get this economy back going. The one thing, increasing taxes for wealthier part of Americans. There's a big wealth distribution in this country. And by taxing those higher earners, he's hoping to help pay for these programs that he's proposing.
But it's unlikely that this will get through unchanged. Do you see it keeping its main thrust as it goes through Congress?
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's what we saw earlier this week when Obama gave his address to the Congress. Is all he can do is direct, and when it comes down to it, it's going to be the House, it's going to be the Senate, just like we saw with the large stimulus bill from last week. They are the ones who are going to be crafting it, negotiating, and that's when the Republicans come into play. And there were three Republican senators who ended up agreeing with the Democrats to vote that stimulus through. And so as much as Obama would love to be bipartisan and work with both sides of the aisle, all he can do is really ask for it. It's up for the lawmakers on Capitol Hill to actually engage in those across-aisle negotiations and to get something worked out between the two that can actually work. And again, I mean, Obama can say, let's raise taxes, let's, you know, pull troops out, let's, you know, do all this stuff. But when it comes down to, he can only sign it after Capitol Hill pushes it through. And this is a new kind of politics we're seeing, I think, because there's so much direction coming right now from the president, and the House and Senate are kind of falling in lockstep, and they have their own ideas and such, but so far it's basically been exactly what Obama has asked for, what the Congress has been giving him.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Spencer.
Thank you, Liam.
That was KBOO Spencer Raymond with DC Dirt, everything that gets swept under the rug. And now some international stories. At this point, it looks like the Obama administration's policy toward Venezuela is pretty much decided, and the embargo on Cuba is considered untouchable because no one will risk losing support among Cuban Americans in Florida. That leaves Bolivia as a left government in the region where the hostility of the Bush administration could be reversed. So Bolivia is safe for now. Wait, maybe not. This is from the BBC. The water wars are coming, scream the headlines. It seems obvious rivalries over water have been the source of disputes since humans started cultivating food. Even our language reflects those ancient roots. Rivalry comes from the Latin rivalis, two people using the same river. As the impact of water scarcity has grown, so have the warnings that countries will take up arms to ensure access to water. Per Fargering has an interesting interview on this subject, which will be posted on the KBOO website by tonight. In a swift about-face from her views as New York Senator, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is now hammering Israel over its treatment of Palestinians in Gaza. In February 2000, when she was courting New Yorkers, Clinton said, quote, I'm a very strong supporter of Israel. Yesterday, as Secretary of State, she had another about-face in the form of angry messages demanding Israel speed up aid to Gaza. American Jewish leaders are not happy. Democratic Representative Tom Amiano has called for marijuana to be regulated and taxed in the state of California. His plan has been roundly condemned by anti-drug activists. Amiano believes that a regulatory system similar to the one used for alcohol, with sales restricted to people aged 21 and over, would be best. He says that regulation would create revenue and destroy the black market. This has been news from Air Cascadia for Friday the 27th of February, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Todd Wilson. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta, and Chris Andre will be back in the studio Monday. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Portland. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you, members. Coming up next is Flashpoints, increasing pressure on Attorney General Eric Holder to prosecute Bush administration officials for war crimes. And remember, Air Cascadia will be heard an hour earlier starting Monday. Air Cascadia will be at 10 o'clock weekday mornings starting Monday. Thank you for listening and have a great day.